You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, Jesus Christ is often regarded as the moral and spiritual exemplar in Christianity, embodying various virtues that are central to Christian teachings. These virtues, as demonstrated by Jesus, serve as a moral framework for Christian ethics and guide believers in their efforts to follow Christ's example in their daily lives. The combination of love, compassion, forgiveness, humility, patience, justice, and faithfulness form a powerful model for Christian virtues. We are wrapping up the whole issue of virtues that we have been the conversation we've been having with Pastor Lubani. Obvious, Lendo. It's obvious. We have to look at Jesus himself. Mfundis, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zanele. How are you? I'm fine here.
I am good, Mfundis. I'm just waiting to go home and start preparing for the Sabbath. If it was me, Mfundis, the Sabbath was going to start at the moment I say goodbye here. So I rest. Like, It's a lot, Mfundis. It's a lot.
you are saying the truth. Actually, after this program, I'm also driving about 200 kilometers away to serve somewhere.
So far, Mfundis. I won't keep you long there, but we'll get through the topic as we start. Pastor, please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation.
Let us pray. Loving Father, I would like to praise and glorify your name for being with us throughout the whole week and for keeping us in good health so that we can serve you. We are about to discuss a very important subject, the subject that concerns your son Jesus Christ as a model in as far as living a virtuous life is concerned. And we pray, Father, that you send your spirit to be with us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundis, we're looking at the virtue in Jesus, like the virtues that Jesus, has displayed and how what we learn from them, right? When we're reading the book of John, Mfundis, chapter 13, there, it does tell us about the issue of loving, one another. So how do we associate that, Mfundis, with virtues and us?
Thank you so much for raising this issue, more especially looking at Jesus Christ as our model for Christian virtues. And rightly so, in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we see that Jesus Christ talks about loving one another. But Zanele, there is something very important which is in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Mm. And I'm saying so because I want to generate some interest for people to listen. Mm. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, the Bible says, "A new commandment I give you," and I want you to take note of that. Mm-hmm. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you do also love one another. Mm-hmm. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Zanele, for our audience, those who are listening, to understand why did Jesus Christ had to use the word "a new commandment." Mm. For our audience to understand that, let me take them some steps back. Mm-hmm. If we read this commandment to love one another and all that, it comes from the Old Testament. Okay. And in the Old Testament, I can cite a number of verses. It's as clear as love God and love man. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, when we come to the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 to verse 34, there came a lawyer, and the lawyer asked Jesus Christ about the first commandment.
Yes.
And the Greek word is protos, first commandment. Mm. Okay? And the answer was that you need to love God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then love man as you love yourself. Now, I want you to get the picture. First commandment, and then love man as you love yourself. Uh-huh. Okay? Meaning to say, what is coming first is love for oneself, then love the other. Okay?
Yeah.
You get it?
Yes.
Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, a lawyer also comes to Jesus. Mm. And the lawyer asks about the greatest commandment. That is Matthew 22:34-40. And when that was asked, the answer was also, Jesus responded to say, the great and first commandment. Mm. The questioner simply said, the greatest commandment. Which one is the greatest commandment?
Yeah.
And Jesus responded and said, the great and first.
Mm.
Okay? Love God and then love man as you love yourself.
Mm.
Okay? Now, let's go to the Gospel of John, just as we have just read.
Yes.
Here, Jesus Christ says, he didn't say the first commandment. He didn't say the greatest or the first commandment, mm. but he said a new commandment.
Okay.
And in this new commandment, Jesus Christ says mm. that they, disciples, should love one another, mm. not as they love themselves, mm. but just as Jesus Christ loves them.
Mm.
Meaning to say, the love perspectives in the gospel, in the first two gospels, Matthew and Mark, the rendition is the same.
Mm.
But if we go into the Gospel of John, Jesus says a new commandment. Why a new commandment? Now there is a different perspective. Jesus is saying you should love one another, not as you love yourself, mm. but as I have loved you. In that way, Jesus Christ says, by this men shall know that you are my disciples. If yeah. you love one another, just as I have loved you.
Mm.
Now, this is where now associating ourselves with the command comes in. Because now Jesus Christ has set the standard very high for man.
Mm.
Man is not to love another man just as he loves himself. No, Jesus says you should love the way I have loved. I feel like stopping and just ending there. Because here now the standard,
yeah.
here the standard has been set high. We are not loving one another the way I love you, Zanelli. No. I'm loving you the way Jesus Christ has loved mm. me. That's it. And that's how different it is. And that's how our associating ourselves with the command
mm.
becomes something else that is new, something else that is out of this world.
Mm.
Because we are now beginning to love each other just as Jesus Christ has loved us. Not as I love myself. Because probably my love for myself is not good enough. But Jesus says, mine is good enough. So you love each other just as I've loved you. A new command. Not the greatest command, not the first command, but a new command I give you.
Mm. Looking at that, Mfundisi, because he taught us these things, right? He answered the lawyers. He also taught the disciples this the commandment of loving, you know. How did he apply this commandment throughout his life on earth? Like, did was he just teaching and then they were going to go and figure it out themselves? Or he taught and also showed them examples of what he was speaking about?
Thank you so much, Zanelli, for that question. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was not the kind of a man who would say something which he wasn't practicing.
Mm-hmm.
His words and his actions were one. They very well, they synchronized very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we see that Jesus Christ truly applied this command throughout his life. Mm-hmm. How did he do that? When he went out healing the sick, Jesus showed that he had love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
When he went out forgiving the people and emphasizing on the importance of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ showed that he loved.
Mm.
He did not stop there. Jesus Christ was also a social man. He interacted with the people, not just any other people. He interacted with people, Zanelli, you wouldn't associate with.
Mm-hmm.
He associated with sinners. He interacted with sinners, the tax collectors, the Samaritans, the people who were disregarded by the society because of their past mistakes are the people Jesus Christ made
mm.
friends with.
Yeah.
And in his teaching of the parables, if you check all of the parables Jesus Christ taught,
mm.
you will see that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ taught love. That is this book which I read. He taught love, and the whole book is about parables.
Mm.
What about his own sacrificial love? by dying on the cross for the sins of humanity, laying down his life for you and me. That was nothing but the demonstration of love. And some may say, okay, fine, but when did he practically do it himself? Now in John chapter 13, where we are studying this this morning, he himself stoops down, takes out the outer garment, ties it in his gird, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And this was the work of a servant. And he himself takes the form of a servant to wash the feet of his disciples. And Peter says, no, you can't do that. He says, if I don't do it, then you have no part with me. Then Peter says, okay, fine, just wash me. Just wash me, the whole of me, wash me. And Jesus says, no, I'll just wash your feet. And once I wash your feet, you'll be clean all around. But all I'm trying to say is Jesus Christ modeled it in each and every sphere and aspect of his life.
Looking at compassion, right, is one of the virtues that we have spoken about. Where in the Gospels do we see Jesus showing compassion? There, to my listeners, we're doing a Bible study with Mfundisi, so please take out your pens. We are doing this is a proper Bible study. This and Mfundisi. Where do we see him showing compassion? Yes.
No, Zanele, you have given me what I call a linguistic marker, a very big word. So our linguistic marker here is the word compassion. Now, if we go into the Gospels to see where Jesus Christ was compassionate, there are so many examples. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. No, he had compassion on the people and healed their sick. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion and healed a man with leprosy. So you can see that when it came to healing the sick, Jesus Christ portrayed the virtue of compassion. Let's look at another example. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, and they have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. But let's take note of our linguistic marker. The Bible says, I have compassion for these people, meaning to say, even when it came to feeding the people, he was moved by his virtue of compassion. What about raising the dead? In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus is getting into a city. And when, as he's getting into the city, he meets a funeral procession. And the Bible says, when the Lord, meaning Jesus, saw the widow who was going to bury her only son, just imagine, a widow going to bury her only son, the Bible says, his heart went out to her. I just want everyone to feel it. Jesus Christ had got out of her and it went to her. And Jesus said, don't cry.
Hey.
Jesus was so compassionate.
Yes.
Even when he saw the people, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So even when it came to interacting with the people, Jesus didn't just interact with people just to pass time. His interaction with people was moved by compassion. Why? The people were harassed. The people were helpless. Just imagine you and me, Zanele, the way we avoid harassed people. We avoid helpless people. The beggars in the street. The way we roll up the windows of our cars when they are begging for something. Just imagine. So Jesus Christ was moved by compassion all around.
Mfundisi, before we get to the other virtue, the issue of compassion, right? We see Jesus has showed us that we can learn it. How can we now apply it to our lives? It may not be day to day where we're showing compassion because it takes a lot. But that one time where we have to take, where we have to show compassion, how then do we show people compassion and not make it to be something else?
The issue of applying the virtues of Jesus are, to me, the most important things, because that's what shows the gospel in action in our lives. And I'm going to repeat myself on that. If we want to see the active manifestation of the gospel, okay, it is when we begin to apply these virtues into our own lives. And what are the most important virtues that we need to show out there so that other people can say these are the followers of Jesus and they apply it? To me, the virtues should be virtues like the virtue of sympathy or empathy. Jesus Christ consistently demonstrated empathy and understanding during his day-to-day life. And believers are encouraged to cultivate empathy for those around them, number one. Number two is inclusivity. You know, this modernity is making us more and more exclusive, you know, more and more egotistic and more individualistic. But Jesus Christ wasn't like that. The man was inclusive. Believers are also called to embrace inclusivity, reaching out to all people without discrimination and without prejudice. If we do so, we will portray Jesus. And the other virtue which we can learn from Jesus and apply it to show that we're his followers is generosity. Jesus was so generous. And believers are encouraged to be generous with their resources, generous with time, generous with compassion in meeting the needs of others. Peacemaking is also one of them. We need to be very peaceful people, people who pursue peace, people who seek reconciliation in relationship, and even promoting harmony in the communities out there where lives are being broken left and right, back and forth. And there is this question of social justice. You know, Jesus Christ promoted social justice like nobody.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we talk about it in Advent circles, it's like we're talking about something that is very radical, but it's not radical.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was an advocate of social justice. Jesus Christ spoke out against injustice and advocated for the marginalized. And believers are called to engage in social justice, standing up for the rights and the dignity of all people, especially those who are oppressed and vulnerable. I can go on and on, but to me, these are the more practical virtues which the society out there is lacking, and yet these virtues were very prominent in Jesus Christ's life.
Looking at this one, Mfundisi, I know we spoke about it a little bit, you know, during the week. How did Jesus, you know, forgive? Did he know how to forgive? Like when he was on earth, not him as God.
Question of forgiveness has come here.
Has come again, Mfundisi. In fact, I don't even want to touch the issue of Trinity, but Jesus, when he was on earth. Not the others. When he was on earth, did he forgive? Did he show show us how to forgive?
Yes, Zanele. Actually, I want to tell you that if there is one thing which made Jesus to be hated by many, is the fact that he forgave. Hello?
Yes.
He was hated simply because from his lips, forgiveness was just, you know, being uttered left and right, back and forth. The man took forgiveness as the central theme of his teachings, but also his actions. And he not only forgave, he actually exemplified it in his own life when he was on the cross, when he said, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." But Jesus Christ forgave. I can say that Jesus Christ, first and foremost, taught forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. He taught forgiveness. In the parables, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35, Jesus Christ taught this parable of the unforgiving servant, meaning to say, even in his parables, he continued to teach forgiveness.
Yeah.
What about forgiving the sins of the people? He would say, "Son, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
He even told the woman caught in adultery that go and sin no more. Thy sins have been what? Forgiven. And as I've already said on the cross, that's Matthew 23:34. The Bible says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This exemplifies an extraordinary level of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it came to about teaching personal offenses, Jesus Christ is asking you and me to always seek forgiveness, to always seek reconciliation, and to extend forgiveness to as many as we can.
Mfundisi, he is coming back, right? That one, yeah, it's a given. We believe it. And even though, you know, he's making us wait, like, for this very long time, he's coming back, you know.
So, yes, I love the fact that he's coming again.
He's coming, you know. As much as we can debate about when and how, all we know is that he is coming back. So while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, Mfundisi, why should his life be a model for us who are waiting for him, you know? He left mm-hmm. us something. He left us a blueprint, you know. So why should we look up to that particular blueprint or his life, saying, you know, man, Jesus was compassionate. Let me also be compassionate. Yes. He was forgiving. He was loving. He was this. He was this. Let me also try. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Zanele, if I tell you that I'm coming down south and I say that, please wait for me, but as you are waiting for me, I want you to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you meet somebody who says, who are you waiting for? And you say, I'm waiting for Pastor Lubani. And he says, if you're waiting for him, then do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Mm-hmm. Which words would you pick? Would you keep? My words or the other person's words? Mm. Okay?
Yes.
All I'm trying to say is, if Jesus Christ is coming again, and he told us about, you know, getting prepared in preparation for his return, then his very life should be our model of living while we wait for him. So how did he live? Point number one, he was a moral and ethical example.
Mm.
And we see it being written in black and white in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He talks about himself being humble. Mm. He talks about himself being patient and lowly. And he asks us to follow that example because he said, he was humble and lowly in heart. He even said it. I'm a moral example which you must copy.
Mm.
Secondly, Jesus Christ was full of love and compassion. He modeled it.
Mm.
Meaning to say, if we are waiting for him properly, we also need to be filled with love and compassion. Mm. What about humility and servanthood? That's what he did day in, day out. His own act of foot washing.
Mm.
We need to follow that particular model of being so humble and of being servants.
Mm.
We are to be the lowliest of servants who have ever lived on earth, just as he was humble. He modeled it.
Mm.
He also modeled forgiveness, just as we have talked about it.
Yep.
We need to be forgiving. That's how we need to live.
Yep.
Putting our faith and our trust in God, that's what we need to do. And the other thing which he did to model a kind of a life we should live is living a purposeful and a mission-filled life.
Mm.
I'm going to repeat that. Purposeful and mission-filled life. All his life was full of purpose. He was focused on his mission. His life was a mission-filled life, day in, day out.
Mm.
There was no season. He wasn't busy in the mission, and then he was busy with mission the other time or the other day. No. Jesus Christ's life was purposeful, and he himself was making sure that he fulfilled his mission. And finally, Jesus Christ's life shows us an example of transformation and renewal. What am I trying to say? Jesus Christ's life, death, and the resurrection. It is an experience which you and me should kind of go through.
Hey.
We need to live the life he lived, but we also need to die the death he died if we are to resurrect the way he resurrected.
Fundis, we're going to resurrect anyway. Okay. We are speaking about virtues, Pastor, so I won't ask any other questions that I might ask that, you know, Anyway, as we wrap up, Mfundiswa, you know, we've spoken a lot about these virtues and the ones that Jesus has shown. But as we wrap it up, are there any other virtues that, you know, we can learn from Jesus or we can extract from Jesus that we did not touch on today that maybe you can give us like in 2-3 minutes saying this one, this one, this one, other than your compassion, your forgiveness, the ones that we have shared today?
Okay. Some of the virtues which we didn't, you know, tackle, which Jesus Christ also exemplified, is the virtue of hospitality. Why am I talking about the virtue of hospitality? Sometimes we don't look at it as a virtue, but we're living in a world where we are all scattered. Each and every person is taking care of himself, and even when bad things are happening in another country or to our neighbor, we tend to be okay if our lives are okay. But this virtue of hospitality is one which Jesus Christ portrayed in his life. When he shared meals, when he fellowshiped with people, that was the virtue of hospitality, one of the rare virtues which we didn't talk about. But there is also this virtue of courage. I know it sounds a bit weird. Say courage, yes, courage is a virtue. And how did Jesus Christ portray courage? He displayed courage in confronting religious hypocrisy and challenging the oppressive systems. And I want to point out, he displayed courage in confronting religious hypocrisy. And there is just too much religious hypocrisy among us. We need courage to confront it. And not just that, to even challenge oppressive systems. People are being oppressed left and right, back and forth. But it appears Christians are too holy to tackle that issue of oppression that is there. So believers are encouraged to also exhibit courage in the face of injustice and to speak out for what is right, even when it may be difficulty. And the third one, which we didn't talk about it in relation to Jesus today, but I want to talk about it in relation to Jesus, that Jesus Christ was a man of integrity. Okay? How did he show? Did he show integrity? He lived with integrity. He aligned his words and his actions. His actions and his words were not different. They came together. So believers are called upon to uphold this high standard of integrity in their personal lives, but also in their social life, ensuring that there is consistency between beliefs and behavior. And these words, I want them to be marked in clear lines, in black and white. We need to be consistent between what we believe. There should be consistency between what we believe and how we act out there. There should be what we call orthodoxy, which is right believing, and orthopraxy, which is right practice. We shouldn't say one thing and then we do the other thing. Jesus Christ portrayed that example. These two were one in his life. And that's the challenge I want to pose on our listeners as we wind up.
Indeed, Mfundisi, indeed. I'm going to ask Pastor that please pray for us that, you know, these virtues, they might be imprinted in our blood, wherever, bones. I don't know where they're being imprinted, Mfundisi, but, you know, that so that they may be within us.
Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the wonderful week which we have just had. We have learned about morality. We have learned about the virtues that we need to have as we seek to live a life that models the life you lived. Father, this is the greatest challenge you have. And I pray that you send us your spirit to give us the courage, to give us the power to stand up for what we believe, but also to show it in action, that many may see you in us and then begin to follow you because of the example portrayed by our lives. I pray, Father, for our listeners and the challenges they are meeting in their day-to-day lives. I pray for those that are sick. I pray, Father, for those that are vulnerable in different vulnerable situations. And I also pray, Father, that you will uplift those whose spiritual life, Father, is not making good progress. And I pray that you bless these ministries and the work we are doing, and that you shall be glorified in our day-to-day life. For we pray in the loving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Mfundisi, thank you so much. dear listeners, you may not know he's actually a doctor, but he said, I'm wearing my pastor cap as we speak about all things virtues. So, good doc, thank you so much. Today I was like, I'm going to expose you, Pakwati Kobantu, in the midst of the people and tell them that, you know what, you're a good doctor, you're a doctor. Thank you so much, doc, for coming throughout the whole week.
I can't wait to interact with you again in this work. May God keep blessing you and our listeners.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Have yourself a blessed, blessed Sabbath and travel safely.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.